for one long sentence, this one is packed with a lot of theology. I mean, we're talking redemption, forgiveness, adoption, election, and even predestination. This one long sentence reads like a poem, and it sings like a hymn. In fact, we are singing it today in the hymns that we have chosen to guide our worship today. The writer of Ephesians packs a lot into this one long sentence. But it's too hot this morning to even know where to begin to unpack a passage like this. The lectionary writers, those who put the lectionary together, had to be playing a cruel joke on the preachers who preached this passage in the middle of July. I mean, it's a hard one to preach for the preacher, and it's hard to listen to for the listener. So I don't know if it'll help. It might help cool you off a little bit. But I ask you to imagine this poem is like a rushing stream that flows with images and ideas and promises and challenges. And this stream flows with grace and love. This stream connects us one to the other. This poem just simply overflows with a love that is abundant, extravagant, over the top, lavish. It's more than we can imagine or comprehend. But there are certain words in this poem, in this stream, that flow over our being. Blessed be. The riches of His grace are lavished on us to gather all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth, all things. In Christ, that phrase occurs 10 times in this passage and more than 30 times in the whole letter of Ephesians. As a chaplain that works in a hospital, I have learned that human connection is essential in the healing process. A big part of what I do as a chaplain is listen. I believe that listening is an act of love. People who are listened to feel important, heard, held, connected. I listen to patients tell their story, and there is always a place where their story meets my story. And that place is usually a place of hurt and sadness, brokenness, vulnerability, grief, loss, fear, anger. There is much hurt and sadness in our world. And I don't know about you, but it seems like it's more than ever. You know, Mother Teresa addressed this problem in our world when she said that we have forgotten that we belong to each other. That's what happened. We forgot that we belong to each other. I remember many years ago when I lived in Pittsburgh, I was driving at the height of rush hour traffic trying to get home, and it was raining buckets. Roads were flooding. Many of them were closed. It was too dangerous to travel them. There were long lines of cars everywhere, and I kept trying to take an alternative route, and I would end up having to turn around because of flooded roadways. I was feeling very frustrated and kind of scared. I was listening to the radio, and at one point the DJ, who was reporting on the traffic situation and the road closures, said, "All those out there on the road, look out for one another. Remember that you are a community." That's always stuck with me, especially when I'm stuck in traffic. You see, we need to be reminded that we belong to each other. Cured my road rage, that's for sure. Father Gregory Boyle is a Jesuit priest and the founder of Homeboy Industries, a gang intervention program located in the Boyle Heights neighborhood of Los Angeles, the gang capital of the world. A few years back, he wrote a book called Tattoos on the Heart, in which he tells about his experience of working in the ghetto. In this book, he shares moving stories told through the eyes of faith that remind us that we belong to each other. One of the core values of Homeboy Industries is kinship. He says that kinship is what happens when we refuse to forget that we belong to each other. Boyle says that kinship is not serving the other, but being one with the other. Jesus was not a man for others, he says. He was one with them. There is a world of difference in that. The homies referred to him as G, or G-Dog. And G tells a story about his own growing up. He grew up in this big old house, and his parents told him and his five sisters and two brothers never go to the attic. That's all they really needed to hear. Pretty soon they were selling tickets to the attic. And on one of their forays to the attic, they found this box of old records. And one was labeled, "O Holy Night, Kathleen Conway." Kathleen Conway was their mother's maiden name. It turned out that in her younger years, before eight children, their mother was an opera singer. So they played the record, and they were blown away. and they couldn't get enough of it. They played it until the grooves wore out on the record. G says that there was this one line that has always stayed with him, a sort of mantra. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Boyle says, sure, it's a song about Jesus and Christmas, but how is it not the job description of human beings seeking kinship? It's about appearing, remembering that we belong to one another, and letting souls feel their worth. Boyle goes on to tell a story about how about 15 years ago, Bandit came to see him in his office. Bandit had been well named. Everything illegal was his game. He spent a lot of his time locked up, in and out of jail. He seemed impervious to help until that day he sat in G's office and said he was tired of being tired. So G set him up with an entry-level warehouse job. Fast forward 15 years, and Bandit calls G on the phone. Bandit now runs the warehouse. He owns his own home. He's married with 3 kids. And in a panic, he says, G, you gotta bless my daughter. G immediately thinks that something bad has happened. She's in the hospital. Until Bandit says, no, on Sunday, my Carolina is going to Humboldt College. I'm scared for her. You think you could just give her a send-off benediction? So G schedules a time with them, and Bandit and his wife and his 3 kids, including college-bound Carolina, arrive, and G situates them around the altar with Carolina in the middle. They all encircle her, and they place a hand on her head and her shoulder, and G begins to pray. And before you know it, they're all crying because Bandit and his wife, they don't know anyone. They don't know anyone who has ever gone to college. The prayer ends, and they all laugh at how mushy they all got. Then G turns to Carolina and says, what are you going to study at Humboldt? Forensic psychology, she says. Bandit then says, yeah, she wants to study the criminal mind. Complete silence. Carolina then turns to Bandit and holds up one hand and points to her dad, blocking her finger with the other hand so he won't notice. And everybody sees that and begins to howl. And then Bandit says, yeah, I'm going to be your first subject. As they walk to the car, Bandit hangs back. And G says, can I tell you something, dog? I give you credit for the man you've chosen to become. I'm proud of you. Savas K, he says, as he begins to tear up. I'm proud of myself. All my life, people call me a low life, a bueno para nada. I guess I showed them. I guess he did. And the soul feels its worth. The riches of his grace are lavished on us. Boyle says, and so the voices at the margins get heard, and the circle of compassion widens. Souls feeling their worth, refusing to forget that we belong to each other. In this world of hurt and sadness, now more than ever, let us refuse to forget that we belong to each other. Let us refuse to forget. In fact, let's remind one another right now. Just take a moment and turn to somebody near you, preferably somebody you don't know, and just say, we belong to each other.